Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, the 5th of April, the year 2016. I'm Jeff Brown here for June Afternoon. Today we'll get an update on library activities with Beth Weigel. We'll talk to photographer Bob Armstrong about how he's integrating new technology with his books. We'll get the details on upcoming student symphony performances. Cody Crumpton will be here to highlight the UAS Saturday student beach cleanup. And we'll learn about Montessori Borealis Public School. Night Rider's Almanac, Burnout Music, and more today on a June Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, numerous rain showers with low temperatures around 39 degrees. Forecast for Wednesday, rain showers likely in the morning with high temperatures around 48 degrees during the day. Wednesday night, rain, low temperatures around 40 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native American leaders in Arizona say they want the U.S. Attorney General's office to investigate the March 27th shooting of a Navajo woman in the town of Winslow. As Carrie Young reports, the incident has sparked outrage across the state.
The Arizona Department of Public Safety is currently overseeing a criminal investigation into the incident. According to authorities, the officer involved fired five shots at L'Oreal Synogeny after she allegedly resisted arrest and threatened him with scissors. The fatal incident took place while police were responding to a report of shoplifting at a convenience store in Winslow. Arizona Representative Albert Hale says the state's investigation isn't independent enough. He joins leaders of the Navajo Nation and Hopi tribe in the request for a federal probe.
I think if we have that type of investigation, there's more credibility given to it. And that's what we'll be doing here fairly soon.
Officials recently identified the officer as Austin Shipley. Critics of the shooting have called Shipley's response excessive. Synogeny's funeral services are scheduled for Tuesday. I'm Carrie Young.
Cold weather postponed Monday's baseball season opener for Ohio's Cleveland Indians. That game with the Boston Red Sox is being held today. The controversy over the Indians' mascot continues. As Brian Bull reports, Chief Wahoo faces a new challenge this year.
13 petitioners with the group People Not Mascots want the Chief Wahoo name canceled by the U.S. Patents and Trademark Office. A similar case was brought against the Washington Redskins, resulting in the recent cancellation of the NFL team's registered trademarks on the name. That case has since been appealed. Robert Rocha is an Apache tribal member and executive director of the American Indian Education Center in Cleveland. He's regularly attended protests at the annual baseball season opener. Rocha says calm, constructive dialogue is key to changing minds on Chief Wahoo, especially with Indians fans who are raised to never question race-based mascots.
Most of these children at an early age are a part of their environment. Their parents are telling them, we're honoring Indians, this is our home team, we need to support them. But, you know, as time goes on, and again, we rarely had a voice in this matter, but as time goes on and we have an opportunity to empower people and tell them, this is an issue on racism. This is a dehumanizing of a race of people.
Meanwhile, the Cleveland Indians say they've steadily diminished Chief Wahoo's image in recent years, though his grinning red face still adorns player sleeves and some fan apparel. Defenders say the mascot honors Native Americans rather than disparage them. No court date for the case against the Wahoo name has been set yet. I'm Brian Bull.
The Wisconsin Army National Guard now has its first female general. Parth Shaw has more.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker promoted Colonel Joan Matthews to Brigadier General this week, making her the first female general in the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Matthews is a member of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. She grew up in Minocqua, Wisconsin, and went on to get a degree in aviation administration from the University of North Dakota, Grand Forks. Matthews followed the footsteps of her father, who also served in the military. Now, Matthews says she's excited to see more women follow in her footsteps.
The Department of Defense opened up all combat positions to females, so I see more and more females getting into different occupations. I don't think it's gone totally that far in Wisconsin yet. We're getting there. We're taking baby steps, which is smart, because you don't want to, you know, put a private in an all-male unit without any more senior-ranking female mentors.
Matthews was also the Wisconsin Army National Guard's first female Army Chief of Staff, first female Brigade Commander, and first non-medical female Colonel. Next month marks her 30th year in military service. For National Native News, I'm Parth Shaw.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com. The Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Gathering of Nations to the Wise Pies Arena, a.k.a. The Pit, April 29th and 30th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to KTO and KRNN FM in Juneau. First guest in the studio for Juneau afternoon is Beth Weigel here with an update on library activities. Beth,
yes.
Thank you for coming by.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Happy National Poetry Month to you.
What word rhymes with month?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've been trying to think of that. And I'm sure there's poets out there who...
Yeah, we need somebody to make a good poem about National Poetry Month, because April is National Poetry Month, and if you visit the library and you have a favorite poem, or you are a poet and you've written some original poetry, we are encouraging you to add it to our poet tree. Poetry. The tree. And you can write your poem on a little leaf and put it on our poet tree.
I get it.
Get it? I thought you would. So, yeah, so it's pretty fun, and that'll be a fun little engaging activity when you come into the library. And, of course, we've got lots of engaging activities happening all month long at the library and at the City Museum. So tonight, down at the Valley Library, is the last night for our first LEGO League Junior that's been meeting for the last 7 weeks or so. And they've got their poster session tonight to tell everyone what they learned during their Waste Wise Challenge, which basically means they've put together a model with the LEGO robotics, and they've got a poster that talks about how waste can be reduced, reused, recycled, things like that. So if you're out at the Valley tonight, there'll be lots of young exhibitors talking about their projects. So I'll encourage you to come out at 6 or so tonight and check that out. And let's see. We also have LEGO Club that meets at the library once a month, happening tomorrow, Wednesday, at the Valley Library. That's at 5:30. Ty Keltner, who's a world-famous, I think, LEGO builder, at least Alaska-famous LEGO builder, comes and he provides a challenge every month for kids 18 and under. Just remember, if your kid's 4 to 7, just come along with your child so you can build with them. And all this week, I know it's Folk Festival. Everybody's super excited about that. And the museum is going to be a jam spot. So musicians can come by during open hours all this week, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and jam. Just remember, no food allowed there. But
that's the City Museum.
The City Museum,
not
yeah.
The State Museum.
No, that one's not quite ready yet. But yes, the City Museum is available for a jam spot if you're looking for a place to jam. We've also got our downtown family night happening on Thursday this week. So if you've been watching and wondering about what's going on in the dock downtown, we're going to have special guest Monica Blanchard of Manson Construction coming. She's the project manager for the new dock facility. So she's going to talk all about what's going on a level that anyone in your family could understand.
And where's it going to be?
That's at the downtown library here on Thursday at 5:30. We serve a little light supper. We have a craft and the little presentation. So it should be interesting if you're curious about what's next for the downtown dock area. Another great thing coming up that we're participating in is the Youth Summer Fun Expo on Saturday, April 16th. It'll be from 10 to 2. It's at Centennial Hall. I know a lot of different organizations will be there letting people know about what kind of camps are offered, what kind of activities for kids are offered, and we are one of the exhibitors at that little fair, so we'll have all kinds of information about our summer reading program and different things to learn about what we'll be doing all summer with some of our programs.
What's the theme this year?
our theme is Ready, Set, Read is one of the younger ones, but it's all about, you know, exercising your mind and exercising your body all together so that you're healthy and wise. So we're looking forward to our summer reading, and we'll, of course, unveil more of that as we get closer. Also, the Early Learning Fair, this is we partner with AEYC to do a preschool family night out at the Valley on the third Thursday of the month. So on April 21st, we don't do those through the summer, so this will be the culmination of all the AEYC family nights, and we do that as a early learning fair, and that'll be from 4:30 to 6:30. And you can basically find everything you need to help your children succeed. There'll be lots of information and resources provided. You can register your child for kindergarten at your neighbor's school. There's vision and hearing and developmental screenings that'll be going on, also immunization. So if you do have more questions about that, you can contact AEYC, but that we host out at the Valley Library on April 21st, Thursday, from 4:30 to 6:30. And then as we get into the month a little bit later on, we're going to be part of the Alaska Robotics Mini Comic Convention as well. We're very excited about that. We're going to do the kickoff on April 22nd, Friday, at the Valley Library. And I'm telling you, there's like over 12 or so artists coming to town, including Kazu Kabushi, and Kate Beaton, and John Clausen, and Marion Call and Raina Telgmeier. So if you're a graphic novelist fan and you heard one of those names just now, they're probably some of the top leading graphic novelists in the country, and we're really excited to be part of that. And then all day on Saturday the 23rd, the Friends of the Juneau Public Library has made it possible so that that'll be a free all-day event. So anybody can come for free on Saturday to the Jack for the comic convention from 10 to 5 and meet these folks as well there, get signed copies of things. There'll be all kinds of other exhibitors besides the guest artists. I know there's going to be some youth exhibitors. Different schools have gotten together and organized so they can have a table where they can sell some drawings and short graphic novel type things. The library will be there with our table, and we'll have things that people can check out, so make sure you bring your library card and we'll check you out right there. If you don't have a library card, make sure you bring your ID and we can sign you up for a library card. So we're excited for this event. It's the first ever mini comic convention here in Juneau, and it's going to be great fun. So we'll come back later in the month and talk a little bit more about that with Pat Race, as he's one of the primary organizers Alaska Robotics is. So finally, near the end of the month, it's Tabletop Game Day at the library, at the Valley as well. And from 11 to 5, celebrate International Tabletop Game Day. So just, you know, Platypus Gaming comes and brings their wide range of games that they can check out to anybody who wants to play, Settlers of Catan, all kinds of games.
I think it's hundreds of games.
Hundreds of games. It's great. And so that'll be a great day of gaming as well. We're going to have some information about how to be smart with your money later in the month as well, during Smart Money Week, so you can pick up some worksheets on how to do a budget and plan for retirement and other personal goals that you might have. So a couple things to keep in mind, though. We did cancel our adult education classes for low attendance. So if you're still looking to do your GED exam, you should contact 586-5718 for more information to get help on that. But we are continuing. We extended our English classes every Wednesday in April at the Valley Library. So come practice your English. The group practices speaking, reading, and writing. It's also provided by the Learning Connection, so it's a great opportunity for English as a second language. Just interacting with other folks who are on the same page with you, so that'll be great. And then finally at the museum, which I'm sure they come by and talk about some other things, but there's going to be a great event near the end of the month for a couple of days called Speed Dating with Joseph Alexander. It's basically learning about their collection and understanding how to access different things, also trying to identify some people in thousands of different photos that they're still trying to put through, so you can peruse through those and try and add that to it. We'll also have Sharon Gateman and Peter Freer facilitate a conversation and remembrance of Joseph Alexander Photography Studio. So it should be a great time, and that's April 28th through Saturday, April 30th. So lots going on at the library and at the museum, as usual.
So with all these activities going on, is there a place on the web to go to?
Of course. You can check us out at www.juno.org/library. We also have our Facebook page. You can find many of these events, get posted there. You can print off one of our calendars on our website. You can come into the library and pick up a calendar. You can call us at the library. Any of those options work. You can see me on the street and ask me about it.
A virtual encyclopedia of library activities.
Oh, exactly.
So, Beth Weigel, thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 5th of April, 2016. It's the birthday of the father of antiseptic medicine, Joseph Lister, born Upton, England, 1827. He was a surgeon at a time when 45% to 50% of the patients in surgery died of infections. Doctors did not understand infection at the time. The prevailing medical theory about infection was that it was caused by miasma or bad air. But Lister doubted this theory. He thought that infection might actually be caused by some invisible sort of dust, and he knew that carbolic acid was used to clean sewers, and some doctors were suggesting it could also be used to clean wounds. So he experimented with a diluted form of the acid, spraying a fine mist into the air of the operating room, cleaning surgical tools with it, covering wounds with lint pads soaked in carbolic acid, and he required his surgeons to wash their hands before and after surgery, which was completely new at the time. The mortality rate in Lister's ward dropped to 15%, and a couple of years later, it was down to 5%. It's the birthday of the African-American educator Booker T. Washington, born a slave in Franklin County, Virginia, 1856, who said, "You can't hold a man down without staying down with him." It's the birthday of the author of the novel Psycho, which was made into a movie by Hitchcock, Robert Bloch, born in Chicago, 1917. And it's the birthday of the poet Algernon Swinburne, born London, 1837, who scandalized Victorian audiences by screaming his poetry aloud while skipping around the room, poems about sex and sadomasochism and vampires. Here's a poem for today by Gerald Loughlin, no longer a teenager. My daughter, who turns 20 tomorrow, has become truly independent. She doesn't need her father to help her deal with the bureaucracies of schools, HMOs, insurance, the DMV. She is quite capable of handling landlords, bosses, and auto repair shops, also boyfriends and roommates, and her mother. Frankly, it's been a big relief. The teenage years were often stressful sometimes, though I feel a little useless. But when she drove down from Northern California to visit us for a couple of days, she came through the door with the biggest, warmest hug in the world for me, and when we all went out for lunch, she said, affecting a little girl's voice, "I'm going to sit next to my daddy." And she did, and slid over close to me so I could put my arm around her shoulder until the food arrived. I've been keeping busy since she's been gone, mainly with my teaching and writing, little travel connected with both. But I realized now how long it had been since I had felt deep emotion. When she left, I said simply, "I love you." And she replied quietly, "I love you too." You know, it isn't always easy for a 20-year-old to say that. It isn't always easy for a father. Literature and opera are full of characters who die for love. I stay alive for her. A Poem No Longer a Teenager by Gerald Lachlan from the Life Force Poems, published by Water Row Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by LegalZoom, providing legal help to Americans with online services, customer support, and independent legal advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tune in to KRNN for live broadcast from the 42nd Annual Alaska Folk Festival, April 4th through the 10th. This live broadcast is made possible by the generous sponsorship from COPA, Juneau's handcrafted ice cream and coffee shop, serving ice cream in the Centennial Hall Courtyard during Folk Festival. More information at coppa.biz. And Alaska Robotics, hosting a comic convention on Saturday, April 23rd, featuring comic book authors Kazu Kibuishi, Raina Telgemeier, and Kate Beaton. Information at alaskarobotics.com.
It's 20 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned to Juno Afternoon. In the studio with me is Bob Armstrong. He's got a new product. I call it A New Look for an Old Book. Bob, thanks for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Now, I looked down at Capital Copy a couple weeks ago, and I saw you printing this out, and I was enthralled by what you've done here. It's a book or two or three or four that you put on a credit card-sized card, and you put in your USB drive in your computer.
Yes, it's a. I think it's a fairly new technology that we've discovered, and actually, it started about 3 years ago. Doug Jones and I were out photographing marmots, boxing and playing, and one of us said, "Why don't we take a video?" And we normally didn't do that, so we each turned our camera into the video mode. And then when we got home and looked at the photographs and compared it to the video was much more exciting. I mean, things were happening that we didn't realize that were going on. You know, that it looked like it was only the mom that was playing with the kids and boxing with them, and the whole time the dad was sleeping. And just things like that that you pick up in a video that that you don't often see in a still photograph. And so ever since then, Doug and I have been working to learn how to take videos, and we've been using GoPros underwater with fish and sea lions and seals, and then cameras above water taking videos, and very steep learning curve. But we finally reached a point where we felt pretty comfortable with it and decided to share it with others.
You've got a product, actually four products, and they're all these USB flash drives. You want to tell me the books that are included in this project?
With each of the flash drives, there's a book of videos, like the one on in enjoying nature in Juneau. In Southeast Alaska, has 60 videos on it, everything from black bears in Southeast to brown bears to deer, and then insects and things like that. And then we also include high-quality PDFs of books with the in the flash drive. So like the one on Enjoying Nature in Alaska through video, we've included the book Photographing Nature in Alaska by Bob Armstrong, and we included the book Natural Connections in Alaska by Bob and Mary Wilson. And these are high-quality PDFs. And what's interesting is that in Adobe Reader, which is a free software, they really look good, and you can read them in your iPad, iTouch, or anything. And the videos are in the video book are all embedded, which means you don't need internet to look at them.
Fascinating. It's a great idea. Bob, can I ask you how old you are?
Last week I turned 80.
So it's possible to teach an old dog new tricks.
The one thing about old dogs is it takes them a long time to learn a new trick, but then they usually forget it.
What kind of software did you have to master to accomplish putting these materials out?
The software we used for the videos was the free software. Unfortunately, Doug works with a Macintosh, so he used the iMac software to create the video embedding and so on. And I use the Windows Movie Maker, which is also free. And both of them are fairly intuitive. In fact, I purchased one of the so-called expensive softwares, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. So the free stuff, at least for me, at my age, works the best.
Is this technology combined with books and videos, is this a fairly new technology or new product?
I think it is. I got on the internet and did some searching, and I couldn't find anything like it out there. And what surprised me is that many people, the technology-type people here in Juneau, had never heard of a wallet-sized flash drive before. And so I guess the bottom line is if you didn't like any of the stuff we had on the flash drive, you could delete it, and then you'd have a 4 gigabyte wallet size flash drive that you can always have with you.
Who's your market for this?
Hopefully both local people, but I think the big market might be tourists that come to Alaska, because a couple of the books are Enjoying Nature in Juneau, and it has all videos of all the different creatures that they're apt to see here. There's one exciting video that it worked on for quite a while is looking at Juneau through a raven's eye, and it has all these video clips of ravens doing things with parts of Juneau in the background and stuff, and that was fun to work with.
I can just about imagine you strapping a GoPro to the head of a raven.
That would be a great idea.
How much do these retail for?
About $15 each, and we'll have I don't know if you could call it a book signing because there's nothing to sign, but maybe I could do it electronically. But at Hearthside on Thursday night between 6:30 and 7:30, I'll be giving a presentation about how to look at these things and how they work and so on.
That's this Thursday night. What time?
Starts at 6:30.
Is this the Valley location or downtown?
At Hearthside in the Valley, yes.
What's your next project, Bob?
I would love to continue with this. You know, with videos, you're only limited by your imagination. And one thing I find out is you get older, your imagination goes wilder. So who knows?
Where can people pick this up?
Well, right now they can get them at Hearthside Books. Particularly in the Valley, but we just have started the marketing procedure, and so I'm not sure where they're going to end up.
Hopefully in the back pocket of lots of tourists that come through Juneau.
Yeah.
Bob Armstrong, thank you for coming down to the station today and talking about your books.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Flash Drive, which is something new, and I think I congratulate you for coming up with something new to deal with that. To the west, callous hands and dust, boots, put your heart. the Han and Yoder Band. They'll be performing at 360 on Saturday, the 9th, at the KTO building here. It's happening at Red Dog Saloon 2 at 10 p.m. on the 8th of this month. In the studio with you now are Teresa and Reese Bleakley. They're involved in the Student Symphony presentation, which is happening this next Monday, Sunday and Monday, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Thank you for coming down to the station, everybody.
Oh, great. Actually, we're not at the Arts and Culture Center this time. We had to change the location. Sunday's concert's on the 10th at the JDHS Commons, and Monday we'll be playing at 6:30 p.m. at Glacier Valley Elementary School.
Can you tell me about the Student Symphony, please?
I can. The Student Symphony is a group of musicians, adults and kids who are students who get together once a week to rehearse and play music, and we put on a couple of different performances each year. We had a concert back in October, and then this is our spring concert that we're getting ready to perform for the public.
And who's your conductor?
Tyree Peeney is our conductor. This is his third year conducting with the Student Symphony, and he's also a teacher, a choir teacher, and orchestra teacher out at Thunder Mountain High School.
And Reese, you're a member of the Student Symphony. What instrument do you play?
I play the flute in the Student Symphony, but I also play saxophone and piano with other bands.
How'd you pick the flute?
I had always wanted to play it ever since I was around 4 years old, and back then I wasn't able to actually play, so we started off with piano, and we thought that maybe I would just forget about flute and just stick with piano, but I'm just like, no, I want to play flute, and so I started playing when I was 7 years old with Mariah Enziker, and I started with just blowing into the head joint, and then I was able to, once I got a sound out of that, I was able to start actually playing.
You play the saxophone as well?
Yes, I do. I started in August, and I take lessons with Todd Hunt, and he is the conductor of the Taku Winds, and so I play with them. I just started, so.
Is there any easy way to transfer your knowledge about the flute to the saxophone?
There is, actually. The flute and saxophone fingerings are almost exactly alike with a few differences, and usually I just have to work on my embouchure, and then it just flows nicely. So.
And what are you going to be playing this Sunday and Monday?
I'm going to be playing Air L'Italien by Telemann. It is a song that starts very slow, and then it picks up speed during around halfway through, and it's a lovely piece, and I hope lots of people will come and see.
How did you pick that out?
I wanted something that a lot of people didn't really know. Like, I didn't want to pick a common song that a lot of people recognized easily. I wanted to be unique, and so I decided that this one would be enough challenge for me to learn and work through, but also beautiful and allows people to enjoy the music.
What's the most difficult thing you have to deal with when you're learning or advancing in an instrument like the flute or the saxophone?
I think it's just keeping your technique throughout learning. Sometimes if you are trying to learn multiple instruments, you forget different techniques from those different instruments. So I feel if you need to practice a lot, like sometimes if you really want to be a professional, hours a day. So it just, I don't do that, but I mean.
Oh, how much do you practice?
Probably around 20 to 30.
Your mother's in the studio.
Yeah, probably around 20 to 30 minutes a day. Well, not a day, but I practice when I can. Like every little bit counts. So it just equals out.
So this Sunday and Monday, what pieces are you going to be playing?
We are going to be playing lots of Aaron Copland's, like Our Town, music from Our Town and Hoedown. We're going to be playing a movement from Peer Gynt, The Hall of the Mountain King, and I'm blanking.
Mozart's Overture of the Magic Flute, and a compilation by Andrew Lloyd Webber, a bunch of his recognizable pieces from big productions, and
Ashford
Celebration, which Perry was talking about that last night at rehearsal. I think it was composed for a town down south. I'm not exactly sure, but if you come to the concerts, I'm sure he would be happy to go into the story behind how that piece was created.
Yeah. Now, Reese, you're the winner of the Symphony's 2015 Junior Division Youth Solo Competition.
I am.
What did you play to achieve that?
I played Era L'Italien, and I had to work with my one of my teachers, Sandy Fortier, in order to memorize it, because it's a memorized concerto that you had to work on. And then you played in front of judges with an accompanist who was Missouri Smythe, was my accompanist, and on the piano. And so you just had to keep working on the parts over and over in order to get that kind of texture that you wanted, I guess you could say. And I had to work with Missouri Smythe a lot, so it took a long time.
She tried out for the solo competition back in 2014, and she played the flute, and she played a piece by Mozart, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't win. Teza Haddock won, and he was phenomenal. He's an amazing little violin player. But I remember after she didn't win, she turned to me and she says, "Next year, I'm going to win this thing." And then she put her mind to it, and she came back and did it. It was so great to see her transition that into, you know, making it happen for herself. So she was very determined.
The concerts are Sunday, April 3rd at 3 p.m. and Monday, April 4th at 7 p.m.
Sunday, April 10th at 3 p.m. We had a date time change. We actually are having Shaw's group, his Aurora Strings groups, are two of them, Ursa Minor and Ursa Major, are going to be playing with us. And our original dates on the 3rd and the 4th conflicted with his groups playing in the Folk Festival last night. So we had to do a switch after the press release went out. So I really want to make sure that that gets out there, that the concerts are this Sunday and Monday, April 10th, 3 p.m. at the JDHS Commons, and April 11th, which is a Monday, 6:30 p.m. at Glacier Valley School. It's a pay-as-you-can. We'll have a reception after each concert where you can hobnob with the musicians, and we'll just be very excited to see everybody come out and enjoy the great music.
Is there a website that reminds people where this is?
Absolutely. So you can always check out information on the Juno Symphony's website, which is www.junosymphony.org, and click on the Education tab to find Student Symphony, or you can just / and type in Student Symphony. Juno Student Symphony also has a Facebook page, so check us out. We post videos, we post photos of our rehearsals, and we try to highlight our young musicians so you can learn a little bit more about the kids that are participating and active in the musical community. And these might be some kids that you see down the road that are doing great things with music on a bigger stage.
All right, Teresa and Reese Blakely, thank you so much for coming by. Is there something you want to add that I forgot to ask?
Thank you.
No, thank you.
This is Bird Note. Of all the birds that turn up at bird feeders, chickadees, ever perky, smartly dressed in black and white, are favorites, and they're instantly recognizable as chickadees. Yet sometimes we have to ask ourselves, which chickadee is it? In the eastern and central states, for example, there are two species. Mostly, they seem to divide up by latitude. Black-capped chickadees pervade the northern half of the region, and Carolina chickadees, the southern half. But in some places, they overlap. And while the two look nearly identical, their voices give them away. Black-capped chickadees sing a sweet, whistled 2 to 3 notes, the first a bit higher. In contrast, Carolina chickadees usually sing more notes, and all at different or alternating pitches, such as... Here they are again, the sweet black-capped song. Now, the Carolina chickadee song. With a little listening practice, you'll find that the birds' contact calls sound different, too. Black-capped chickadees actually seem to say chickadee, while Carolinas blurt their name much faster and at a higher pitch. So, while you watch those feeders, keep your ears tuned. Today's show was made possible by the Bobolink Foundation. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
It's 42 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into a Juno Afternoon. Our next guests in the studio are Kate Houck and also Cody Crumpton. They're UAS students, and they're working on a beach cleanup. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, so our beach cleanup is part of one of our university projects, and there's four students from UAS Marine Mammalogy class working on this beach cleanup.
How did you pick Eagle Beach?
We picked Eagle Beach because it's a really popular area for people to hang out, and there tends to be a lot of trash that accumulates because of that. It's also easily accessible by the public, so it would be a great place to actually bring the public in, get them involved in a beach cleanup.
Do you have a game plan?
Yeah, so we're going to be meeting this Saturday, April the 9th, at 8:30. There will be a negative 4 tide at 9 o'clock on that day, so it'll be a really good low tide and a really good opportunity to scan the beach. We will be cleaning from 8:30 to about 11 o'clock, and we will be separating our trash into actual trash and then recyclables so we can see the ratio between those two. And we will also be doing some intertidal and subtidal identification of species that are commonly found in that area.
And why are you doing this?
We are doing this to get the community involved in our natural settings around here. It's really important to make a connection with the environment in order to protect it. And so we feel that this is a good opportunity to make a connection and educate the public as well.
Yeah, we think it'll just be a great day for everyone to come out and help. And anytime you're cleaning up part of your community, I think it makes everyone feel better.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in. Good luck on your cleanup. How much think you pick up a few hundred pounds?
I don't think we'll quite pick up that much, but we're hoping to pick up as much as we can.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be recording it, and there's a database online through the Ocean Conservancy, and they keep track over beach cleans across the nation. And they actually have a list of, like, the top weirdest things that are collected, so we might be lucky and get to add an item to that list. We're not sure.
And I have picked up there a couple times with some friends, and we have filled on average about 4 to 5 large black trash bags, so a couple hundred pounds is possible in that area, just depending on how recent it has been cleaned up.
Oh, that's too bad that it's possible.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
All right, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Some boxcar blues are fast forgotten. Soup can lands are too. When you're southward bound, the sun gets shining. Can I get home too soon? Well, I'm heading through the hills and I'm heading through hollers. Every mile behind me, them smokestacks fading. No, I'm going home to stay. Hello, sunshine, hello, blue sky. Good to see you. Been a long time. Can't always say, made up my mind. I'm going back where the trees are tall. Smiles are big and best of all. My baby's there. The mountain laurels will be blooming. The morning glories will climb. But I'll be long gone by the time they're open. Train.
Classy wines from around the world are waiting to be sampled. Tuesday, April 5th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., join Juno Arts and Humanities for this annual wine tasting event with music by Traveler Duo and additional refreshments throughout the evening. Single, couples, and reserve table seating tickets are available, and proceeds benefit the Jack. Champagne, Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, and more. Tickets and a full list of wines at jahc.org.
It's 49 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into Juno Afternoon. We heard music from the Carper family, the Alaska Folk Festival guest artists for this year. They'll be playing Thursday night and Sunday night in addition to doing a lot of workshops and just being around to answer questions and play along with people who are involved in the 42nd Annual Alaska Folk Festival. Our next guest is Kristen Garreau. Talk about Montessori. Welcome to
Hi.
The studio.
Thank you.
So you were involved with the Montessori Borealis Public School.
I am. I'm entering or wrapping up, I guess, the third year as principal of the program.
What's different about Montessori Borealis than regular Montessori?
So regular school is a little bit different than Montessori Borealis. Montessori operates under the principles of Maria Montessori, who started the school. She was a scientist. She was an observer of kids and developed what she thought was a really solid way to make sure kids were learning and growing as individuals. So it's about following the child and the path that the child leads you on, along with the help of a teacher as a guide who might push you in certain directions and understand what motivates a particular child and opens doors for them in terms of interests and abilities. Of course, we have to follow, we're part of the public school district, so we also have to follow state guidelines for what kids ought to know and be able to do at the end of their schooling. So we marry those two things together, and they come together really well. So we have a combination of some Montessori materials and then kids exploring materials in the community, bringing the community into the classroom. It's a great way to learn.
Now I'm going to take it. I guess that you're not as old enough to have met Maria Montessori.
I'm not old enough to have met Maria Montessori. That was early 1900s.
What kind of person was she?
She was Italian.
Well, that says it all.
That's right there. But she was really interested in kids and in helping kids and in helping her community and spent a lot of time really carefully observing kids in a learning environment and figuring out how to help them keep the natural curiosity that they have as young people and keep that going. One of her tenets is you don't want to get in the way of their learning. And so really figuring out what tools and materials helped kids learn and not get in the way of their learning.
I know some schools have a tremendous amount of volunteer parental involvement.
Yes, and we also like to have our parents involved. Our day is broken up into some different ways. We have for our elementary program, great in our preschool through sixth grade classrooms. The morning is the great period, and the kids are working on their core academics during that time. In the afternoon, they have different specials. We like to have parents come in and have lunch with us. Parents help out with our reading programs and spend time with us at lots of other times throughout the day. Or as special events, we put on events for our community, and we love to have parents involved.
I think you just answered this, but is there such a thing as a typical day?
There is kind of a typical day. A typical day is the morning, that great period, like I said, where kids are making plans about what it is that they're going to learn and what lessons they might have. And then we have lunch together in our classrooms, which is nice. They're not all in a cafeteria style sitting. They're in their classrooms. They put out the placemats and the tablecloth and have a nice lunch together, and then they go outside for recess and run around and practice those social skills that they're working on as growing kids. And then in the afternoons, we'll have combinations of maybe perhaps a little bit more of a work period. They have time for silent reading. They have music class. They have PE class. They work with our school counselor as a group. So we do all those things in the afternoons. And then they head out.
What makes Montessori different than a regular school?
Well, I think, like I said, that idea that the kids, not every classroom looks the same as each other, and not every student is working on the same activity as their neighbor. Kids are making plans about what they're interested in and what they're ready to do next and moving ahead, and it's less whole class instruction and more individualized instruction as needed by that individual child.
Is there a trip that you take at any time during the year?
Our 7th and 8th grade, our middle school program is a little bit different. We're bridging the traditional Montessori method, getting them ready to enter into high school here in Juneau, which we don't have a Montessori high school. So we know they need to get ready for more whole group activities and getting ready for that world. So we do a lot of things to bridge that. And then also we keep some of those, the things that the adolescent is really good at is figuring out their place in our community. And one of the things they do is plan a trip in the spring. It's usually somewhere in Southeast Alaska, and they go off on an adventure that the kids plan. That's usually 4 or 5 days of a journey. And they do all the fundraising to get there as a class and as a community, and they put that trip together and head on out sometime in May. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Yeah, I wanted to just let people know that the applications for next year are due at the end of April, and you can find the applications on our website, or the school district's website, junoschools.org. Those applications for any of the optional programs are due at the end of the month. If you want to find out more about our middle school program, we have an information meeting this Thursday at 5:30 in Marie Drake, which is where our school is located downtown. And then also this Saturday from 2 to 4 at the Downtown Public Library, we're having an optional programs jamboree. So someone from Montessori, someone from Juneau Community Charter School, someone from the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program will be there to talk about all the different optional programs that are available through the school district. So come on by and you can hear more about us and about the other optional programs.
Kristen Groh, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782. Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche is coming to the Hangar Ballroom this April. This contemporary comedy by Evan Linder and Andrew Hobgood will transport you back to a 1950s quiche breakfast you won't forget. This production is presented by the Juno Douglas Little Theater, who is proud to work with all local talent and business. Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche has 6 performances coming to the Hangar Ballroom, April 8th through the 10th and 15th through the 17th. Information at facebook.com/Juno Douglas Little Theater.
It's just a few minutes before the hour, and you are tuned in to Karen and Katie Wu, Evan and Juno. One of the performers coming up this year for the Alaska Folk Festival is Norman Baker. He's going to be playing at Louis tomorrow night and at the Alaska Folk Festival on the 7th at 9:45. It's a little sample of his music now. Junior afternoon, Jimmy Waste will be your host. He'll talk with hula instructor Kilo Hana in town teaching hula dancing during the Alaska Folk Festival. Bill Mickelson will be here to highlight receiving the Purpose Award for her work with the Native Youth. Mark Whitman will fill us in on the 5th Annual Liars and Fiddlers Consortium. We'll also get right out more about the Extension Service programs. That writer's Almanac, Burnout Music, and Martinet. More at 3 on the Junior afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, numerous rain showers, low temperatures around 39 degrees. Forecast for Wednesday, numerous rain showers, diminishing later on with high temperatures around 48 degrees.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K21...